what is after, better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For thou art Allah, the best guardian, and thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to thee, addressing myself to thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to you for the hope of your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of thy creation, the summoner to thy truth. Exalt me with thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, thou art the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brother and sister, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to a new episode of Today's Special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us, we're going to speak about laziness in the view of Islam.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. Too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
But first, as the ritual of this program, we'll look at the calendar. Yes, today is Saturday, 5th of Jamadi Uthani, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Azar, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Calendar, and the 7th of December, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. This is Chapter An-Nisa, verse 124, which we're going to listen to, and then we come back to the studio to look at the important point of this verse.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يعمل من الصالحات من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فأولئك يدخلون الجنة ولا يظلمون نقيرا.
And whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, while being a believer, those will enter paradise and will not be wronged, even as much as the speck on a date seed.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the previous verse, the meaning was about whoever does evil, and here in this verse, it is about whoever does deed of righteousness. The reward of retribution of both is based upon deed. Thus, the factor of entering into heaven is faith and good deed, not the race or claims or desires which were mentioned in the previous verse. All races, colors, nations, and classes are equal for enjoying the grace of Allah.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights. It shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone or anything in life but you.
So as I told you, the topic of this episode is about laziness, but we look at this topic in the view of Islam. Laziness is one of the greatest obstacles to attaining success and achievements in this world and the hereafter, and it is one of the most fatal psychological illnesses. It weakens, resolves, and prevents one from taking steps to do beneficial actions. Hence, the Prophet often used to seek refuge with Allah from it. It was narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, used to say, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from laziness and old age, from sin and death, from the trial of the grave and the punishment of the grave, from the trial of the fire and the punishment of the fire, and from the evil of the trial of wealth. I seek refuge with you from the trial of the poverty, and I seek refuge with you from the trial of the Dajjal.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Today we are going to talk about laziness from an Islamic perspective and the ways to get rid of it. Islam is a religion that calls for activity and fights against laziness, as it is one of the diseases Islam abhors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought Allah's protection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and refuge against it too. We all have busy schedule, whether we are students, parents, spouses, or we work. So we need to take care of so many duties on a daily basis. And when energy level declines, we tend to become lazy. Being lazy can be a very unhealthy way to live life. And it's very easy to fall into a pattern of being consistently unmotivated. How you manage your time and what you do now will affect you later on in your life. But sometimes, out of laziness, some of us might miss our prayers. So this is one of the destructive effects of laziness. When a person misses a prayer unintentionally, this may happen due to a legitimate excuse, such as forgetting or sleeping, although he or she is basically very keen to perform the prayer on time. In this case, one is excused, but he is to make it up as soon as he remembers it.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. Allah, yeah, Allah.
it's good to look at the psychological causes of laziness, such as lacking sufficient emotional support. As adults, we should be obeying and needing attaboys or attagirls to stay resolved to complete the task, but many of us still depend on others for the motivation or inspiration to do what, technically, we should be able to do independently without being cheered on by others. So if you need attagirls or attaboys to stay on top of you, go get them. Post a screenshot of your finished to-do list, tell your friends about what you intend on doing that day, and then tell them again when you finished it. The external emotional support needn't be positive. You can encourage your friends to blame you if you don't finish a task. Now, to overcome laziness, we can break down a task into smaller tasks. We often avoid tasks because we find them too big, too overwhelming, too tiring, or taking too much of your time. Breaking a task into several smaller tasks can solve this problem. Then each one will not seem so difficult or intimidating. Instead of having one big task, we will have a series of small tasks which do not require too much effort. This approach can be applied not only to tasks, but also to goals and everything else we have or need to do. This will tend to melt much of laziness and inner resistance we often experience.
Sheikh Muhammad Halli.
Laziness, also known as indolence, is considered to be a trait that does not need a definition per se. Today, if you speak to many people and you use the term lazy or laziness, they'll be able to tell you it's the lack of activity when an individual is able to do something but does not do it. In the idea that many a times in our lives we feel that we have gone through a position or a state of laziness. We sometimes call people lazy. Children are referred to as lazy by their parents. Sometimes workers at the workplace are referred to as people who are lazy. It's something that affects many people at certain stage in their lives. In fact, there is indeed an important element in this regard. In this day and age, there is an argument that today society is more lazy than it was 50 years ago. Why? Due to the rise of technology. Technology, some people have said, has made us more lazy. In which way? Today we have the smartphones, we have the apps, we have means in which life has become easier to live. This is not bad as such. But as a result of these particular advances, people unfortunately have developed some kind of inactivity or laziness. Today, for example, you'll find many gadgets that do things that perhaps 20, 30 years ago you'd had to do yourself, isn't it? Or you'd had to put some effort into it. Today you recognize technology is developing at such a fast rate with, for example, artificial intelligence and other means at the disposal of these companies that there are people who are arguing that we are becoming more and more lazy. I remember looking up some apps. There are some apps out there today, incredible what they can do. And there are some apps that are completely useless.
Dear brother and sister, that was all for this episode of Today's Special. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Inshallah, we continue this topic, I mean laziness, of course, from the viewpoint of Islam. Fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Take pieces of bread from me. And your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Imam Baqir alayhi salam in a beautiful hadith says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created jahl and aql. Jahl means ignorance and aql means intellect and wisdom. And he said to jahl, step backward, it stepped backward. Then he said, step forward, it didn't. Then he said to Aql, step backward, it stepped backward. Then he said, step forward, and he stepped forward. It's like metaphor that shows that Aql, intellect, which is in every one of us, has total obedience towards Allah. So if we follow our intellect, we would be obedient to Allah. It's the base of religion. The old religion is based on intellect. We cannot accept anything about religion without our intellect. The contrary to what people, some people today, people who claim to be scientists or claim to be modern, say, intellect tells us to follow Allah, to follow the religion. So the principles of religion, like Tawheed, like prophethood, like unity of Allah and prophethood and justice of Allah and the Day of Judgment, they all are proven by intellect. In Islam, we say that we should reason, then believe. It's not just like some other religions. We should first reason and then believe. It's the rational way. Every rational person can accept only this. We should reason and then believe. So, and then he continues, then Allah said, I swear by my honor and glory that I have not created any creature more beloved to me than you, the Aql. I will not perfect you in anyone except those whom I love. In every prophet amongst his own people was the person who was the most complete in his Aql. He was the wisest person. And the hadith goes on like this. I, however, will command only you to do things and prohibit only you from doing certain things. It means that the Aql is the criterion, right? The criterion for everything, for the punishment and for the rewards of Allah, for, being held accountable for what we do, or what, how we behave, by our intellect. Even in Islamic law, you can see that the taklif revolves around aql. Whoever is insane, he's not held accountable. Only the people who have sanity are held accountable, and they have duties. And the hadith ends like this. I will grant blessings to you only, and will subject only you to punishments. So, brothers and sisters, are we following our aql, the aql that tells us to obey Allah and to be good and to do right things? If we are like that, we follow the prophets. Inshallah, we would be. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm really glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of different Quranic parts. At first, we're going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran, and then we're going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts. So, please stay tuned. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Layfi. He was born in 1952 in a rural area of Sharqiya Governorate in Egypt and raised in a Quranic family. His father, Muhammad Abu Al-A'la, was the only person in the village who had managed to memorize the entire Noble Quran. Therefore, Muhammad began to memorize the Noble Quran under the guidance of his father. And with the help of Allah, he managed to memorize the entire Noble Quran at the age of 3. Subhanallah. Muhammad's increasing interest in Quran recitation helped him master the techniques of reciting the Noble Quran under the care of his father at the age of 6. He was famous throughout Ash-Sharqiya Governorate by the time he turned 15. In 1984, he entered Egyptian radio, and then, after gaining more fame, he was selected as the best reciter of Ash-Sharqiya Governorate and began to recite in famous mosques of Egypt, such as Masjid al-Imam al-Husayn and Masjid al-Sayyida Zainab. He traveled to many countries, including India, Pakistan, South Africa, Germany, and America, to recite the Noble Quran. He traveled to Islamic Republic of Iran in 2000, along with Sheikh Ahmad Nu'ayna, and he passed away in 2006. May Allah bless him. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman from the very beginning to the end of verse 13, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Layfi. Let's enjoy it.
الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء
Bye.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 1 to 13 of Surah Al-Rahman, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, the first verse of this surah, Ar-Rahman, the ha is very important to pay attention to, because ha has a special characteristic which is called buha, and it really has to do with the place of articulation of ha, which is the pharynx. And you have to narrow down the pharynx wall in order to pronounce this fricative, this weak fricative, Ar-Rahman. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that the buha is enough. If it's too little, that would be incorrect. If it's too much, that's also incorrect. If you say Ar-Rahman, Rahman is too much buha. Ar-Rahman. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. If you say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim with too much buha, it gets close to the pronunciation of kha. And we don't want that. That would be incorrect.
And that's the most amount of timing to be produced.
Yes, compared to the other groups of letters, such as shidda and tawassut. Because ha is a letter of rahawa. You spend more time pronouncing the letters of rahawa than pronouncing the letters of shidda and tawassut. And this is because of the nature of these letters.
By letters of shidda, we mean plosives, and by letters of rahawa, we mean weak fricative.
And tawassut, they could be nasal stops, meem and noon. They could be lam, which is called a liquid in phonetics. And
ayn.
We have ayn and ra. Ayn is also a fricative, but it's not a weak fricative. And the same goes for ra.
And actually, as far as I remember, you said that they make the sentence Lin Omar.
Yes, that's a good way to memorize the letters of tawassut. Okay. The third verse of this surah, we have Khalaqa. Khalaqa. Lam is the only letter in this word which has the characteristic of istifal. And istifal, almost always, you have to pronounce the letters that have this characteristic with tarqiq.
So we have one letter of istifal in between two letters of
isti'la. Yes.
Khalaqa.
Khalaqa. Right? In order to learn how to pronounce this word, you could concentrate on the shape of the lips. When you say kha, your mouth is slightly rounded. Khale. When you want to pronounce le, your mouth lips spread. And again, for qaf, just like the kha, the mouth is rounded. Okay, then we have khalaqal insan. We have ikhfa of nun sakina. Ikhfa means that nun sakina is not pronounced
completely.
It's pronounced partially. And not from its place of articulation. You totally omit the place of articulation of
noon.
Instead, you have to see what the letter of ikhfa after the noon is. Okay? So if it's a scene like in this word, you have to bring the articulators that you use to pronounce scene,
close
which
to
is
other.
Actually one articulator, the tongue, close to the place of articulation of scene. Really close, inclined to the place of articulation of scene. And at the same time, you keep it there. And at the same time, you make a nasal sound for two vowel counts, like this. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ إِنسَانَ. You don't say إِنسَانَ. That would be incorrect. You're doing إِلْحَارَ of نُون ساكنة. You're pronouncing the نُون ساكنة. And of course, you don't say isan. It's impossible.
Yeah,
you don't do
it. It's not at home, actually.
I've heard some reciters, they say isen. Again, that's not correct either. We have
they
to have the nasal
position.
No, they don't apply the ghunna. Isen. You see, if you pinch your nose and say isen, the sound
the
wouldn't change.
The nose is completely omitted, actually.
Yeah, the nasal part is omitted.
What remains is the nasal point. What remains is the nasal part, and they omit that part.
Yeah, so you should have the nasal sound of noon.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the noon.
Yes.
Okay, the partial.
To indicate, actually, that there was actually a noon here.
Yeah. We have the same thing as khalaqa in qamaru. Qamaru. We have one letter that is pronounced with tarqiq in between two letters that are pronounced with tafkhim,
thickness.
With thickness. So you have to again do the same thing. Qa, ma, ru.
The shape of the lips. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In today's program, we will listen to a commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
On that morn, before the world was born, in the snow, heard music near and far. Did we the cadence of divine music hear? Did we the cadence of
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the best and the last of the prophets, Muhammad, and his pure and infallible progeny and household, especially his last successor, Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you and with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the Ocean of Dua, and I am Abdul Raza Bahrani. Insha'Allah, I will explain and interpret the passages and sentences of Ziyarat al-Yasin in this series of lectures. Now let's listen to some passages of this ziyarat.
The ziyara of al-Yasin.
وحده لا شريك له وبرسوله وبأمير المؤمنين وبكم يا مولاي أولكم وآخركم ونصرتي معدة لكم ومودتي خالصة لكم آمين
My soul is thus believing in Allah, one and only Lord, and having no associate, and also in His Messenger, and the Commander of the Faithful, and in you all, O my Master, from the beginning to the end. I have prepared myself to back you, and my love is sincerely dedicated to you. Respond, respond.
At the end of Ziyarat al-Yasin, we again start talking to all Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. If you can remember, we said that the first sentence in Ziyarat al-Yasin, we address all Ahlul Bayt. And at the end of Ziyarat al-Yasin, the same thing happens. After talking to Imam Mahdi ajalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, we again address all Ahlul Bayt and talk to them. In the first sentence, we said Salamun ala Ali Yasin, and the name Ziyarat Ali Yasin is taken from this sentence. Salamun ala Ali Yasin. May God's peace and salutations be upon the household of the Holy Prophet Ali Yasin. And in the last sentence and passage of Ziyarat Ali Yasin, we say Fanafsi mu'minatun billah. وحده لا شريك له وبرسوله وبأمير المؤمنين وبكم يا مولاي أولكم وآخركم I have believed in Allah, the One. There is no associate for Him. And I have believed in His Messenger and in the Commander of the Faithful and in you, the foremost from among you, as well as those who succeeded them, and your last ones. وَنُصْرَتِي مُعَدَّةٌ لَكُمْ My assistance for you is ready. وَمَوَدَّتِي خَالِصَةٌ لَكُمْ And my love for you is sincere. Amina, Amin. O Allah, accept our supplications, accept our supplications. Amen, Amen. A point which is worth appreciating is that the ziyara employs the second person plural in the finishing line, as we said, and the same as the first line and the first sentence, and as opposed to the others in between these two. And this is because at the end, we are addressing all the imams, in our expression of sincere love and help extends to all the imams. It is possible that this verse is referring to the Raja'a, when all the imams shall return and they will avenge the pharaohs of their times for the oppression and affliction that was heaped upon them.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How to pray for the faraj or the relief? Imam al-Asr ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif to his second representative, Muhammad bin Uthman rahmatullahi alayh, addressing the Shias, says, Pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief. One who is disturbed, distressed, and heartbroken Due to the separation from the Imam, the prayers of such a person, they have two effects. Either the Imam's arrival will be hastened, or the afflictions, the problems, and the distresses of the person praying for the relief of the Imam, they will be removed. As a result, he will be eased, he will be pleased, and will be comforted. In either cases, as Imam al-Asr ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif has said, وَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى لِتَعْجِيلِ الْفَرَجِ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ فَرَجْكُمْ. Pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief.
Allahumma kun li waliyika hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا
The Ocean of Dua, Commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So I say, oh my Mawla and my Master, that I have tried to manage my life with your orders, and I have tried to obey you in every moment of my life. So I tell you that I have faith in Allah the Almighty. My soul and my heart is faithful in Allah the Almighty and in the oneness of God the Almighty, the Sublime and the Glorious. And I believe that there are no partners with him. And my heart believes in the Holy Prophet, that he is the messenger of God the Almighty, and he will guide us and take us to Allah the Almighty. And then I say that I have faith in the Commander of the Faithful and in you all, O my masters, the first of you and your last. وَنُصْرَتِي مُعَدَّةٌ لَكُمْ. When I say here, وَنُصْرَتِي مُعَدَّةٌ لَكُمْ, means that I am ready to sacrifice my life for you. I am ready to help you no matter what happens. I am ready to assist you in every moment of my life and every moment of your life. This is very important that, as I said, when we refer to the Holy Quran, we find that mawadda is obligatory upon all Muslims and the Shias. And mawadda is a love which is followed and pursued by action and by following the orders. So the help should be prepared. The help, we have to help them. And وَنُصْرَتِي مُعَدَّةٌ لَكُمْ, and my help is prepared for you, and I have prepared myself to assist you. So if we are a true Shia and follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we need to be in this way, and we need to have all these characteristics about which we talked in Ziyarat al-Yasin. Otherwise, we are not the true awaiters of Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala faraju sharif. If I am not ready and prepared to help his eminence, if I'm not ready to be and act as one of the soldiers in the army of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in fighting against his enemies, then I'm not a true follower and I'm not a true awaiter of Imam Mahdi. If I want to be a true awaiter, my mawaddah should be sincere for Ahlul Bayt. And if my mawaddah is sincere, then I need to follow Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam as God the Almighty orders in the Holy Quran. And as the staunch companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam sacrificed their lives for Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the land of Karbala. This is how a real awaiter should be, exactly like the companions of Imam Hussein in the land of Karbala and on the day of Ashura. Those who sacrificed their lives in the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, in the love of the household of the Holy Prophet. Alhamdulillah, this ziyarah is also finished. And inshallah, from the next session, we're going to start talking about the dua, which is after and recited after this ziyarah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of remembrance of God, Dhikrullah, based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are focusing currently on the 222nd sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he is discussing about remembrance of God and what it means to remember Allah. He quotes some verses of the Quran and a lot of beautiful discussions that we shall slowly develop as we go ahead in this discussion. We are having a few preliminary discussions right now with regards to the meaning of remembrance of God, and one of those areas that we also are discussing right now is the quality of remembering God. And this can be in the form of actions, in the form of the types of attributes you manifest in your heart, and also the type of ma'rifah or awareness that you have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the moment we are talking about the actions. Inshallah, if we get time today, we will talk about the attributes that we manifest in our hearts. Those attributes should be actually a remembrance of God manifesting themselves in our heart. We shall discuss about this inshallah after the break.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, we were discussing about remembering of God, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our actions. And we said that this is basically by following the Sharia and all of that that we discussed previously. In other words, what we are trying to say is that Allah, who is present everywhere, we should show His presence. He should be present in our actions. Not that if you don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will be absent. No, Allah is everywhere. The problem is that you will be absent from God. That means you will be far from God. Your action will not be manifesting the will of God. You see that? That action will be manifesting the animal level of your existence and not the human level of your existence. So what you'll be doing is that you will be slipping